Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 169, episode 3 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's a shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You see, I've got two kids, and they love Blippi. Cause he poops some butts. Zeit Gang said, shut up and start the show. But poopy butts are silly. They said, no, no, no. Shut up and start the show. That is an AKA from a mean AKA from Official Dickhead, living up to his name. He didn't like that we spent a half hour at the top of a show talking about Blippi's dirty past.
Well, that's I can't help you if you didn't find the value in that, because the BuzzFeed article said diarrhea shit on his friend's nude ass.
What are you talking about,
Alex?
We're about to kill another half hour talking about this.
Alex, I feel like I need to recreate the Blade Runner speech right now. Talking about how I've seen things, man. But I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
There's this place in the corner of my den where I used to sit and drink Kirkland. But I broke the AC and lost my mind, stripping off clothes, sweat all in my eyes. And I just, you know, thank you to Hannah Soltis, Hannah Ramekview on the Discord, Ocean Avenue AKs, because I love, dude, staying up all. Nah, that's one of my favorite little, you know, sort of syncopations in lyrics in music.
What is that? Who's
like
that?
A syncopation?
Syncopation?
No. Syncopation is, I don't know the song.
Oh, Ocean Avenue by Yellow Card.
If I could find you now,
how about
better.
I don't know why I wear this light blue sweater?
As she wrote, but I don't have a light blue sweater, so it didn't feel on brand.
Oh, man, I could have pretended you were wearing a light blue sweater for the listeners.
I know, theater of the mind and all that. But
well, we are thrilled to be joined by the hilarious and talented Alex Edelman!
Hey, guys, a.k.a. don't have any a.k.a.s. Don't.
There you go.
That was we're thrilled Alex. To have you. We were just talking about reminiscing about how we met a year ago.
Yeah. Oh my God! At Sketchfest, when people were in person before we lost Kobe Bryant and the world we knew, man, yep. 2020 yeah. wasn't great, was it?
Nah, you know, had its moments.
We yeah. were really. I mean, I felt like because we were getting ready. You know, that was about to kick off a bunch of tours and shit. We're like, yo, 2020 is a year. My man Alex is in the building. This guy's hilarious. Like, we're going places.
I was excited. I was like, 2020 is going to be my year, guys. And then, it all fell apart.
Mm. It was Lincoln all of Park our years.
I might say.
Yeah. Yeah. Or things fall apart and start to shatter, as the Roots might say. Mm. No, we should go with Linkin Park. Sorry about that. All right, Alex, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the pandemic as stress test for the West, just it really showing us ourselves on a very detailed EKG monitor. We are seeing some clogged ass arteries, I would say. We'll talk about some how LA's richest pieces of shit are dealing with the line to get the vaccine and just generally across the West. We'll talk about COVID as a case study for climate change and what it tells us about how we're going to be able to do during that. Florida is attempting to get the Olympics this summer. We'll read the letter from the CFO of Florida. I didn't even know states had CFOs. But yeah, Jimmy Patronus, baby. Jimmy Patronus.
Jimmy Patronus.
We'll talk about sliceable hot sauce. And we'll talk about what we're looking at as far as Super Bowl commercials this year. All of that, plenty more. But first, Alex, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I have spent a lot of time over the last couple of days looking for curtains for Ooh. The apartment that I'm living in, and I think I'll never find them. I don't know why. And I want one panel curtains for my kitchen, and every kitchen set of curtains seems to be like a two-piece bathing suit with like a little bit at the top and then like a little bit in the middle, and I can't believe that I'm like, this is the height of sickening domesticity where I'm just like, no, those curtains are too blackout. Those curtains are too translucent. I'm not going to be able to. I need curtains that give me privacy and let some light in. Like, it's a really unpleasant, shitty errand. I wish I had cooler, you know. I also spent a lot of time searching the guy who wrote the song Spirit in the Sky.
Oh, why? Hmm. What'd you learn about him?
Well, first of all,
as much as I want to talk about curtains, sorry.
It's an Orthodox Jew named Norman Greenbaum from the Boston area. He heard gospel on television, thought that sounds easy, sat down and wrote the top charting gospel song of all time in 13 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
It took him 13 minutes. He looked at the clock. It was 12:05. He looked at the clock again. It was 12:22. It took him 13 minutes to write Spirit in the Sky, which has just charted more than any. It's not the best gospel song. It's the highest charting gospel song. And people send him angry letters because he says, there's a lyric where he says, I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned, but I got a friend in Jesus. And people send him letters about how we're all sinners.
Yeah.
And he writes back like, I'm Jewish. I don't really give a shit.
I mean, I wouldn't say so. Gospel song. I was thinking of a different song, but that's the gonna da 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 to the spirit in the sky.
It's
like a 70s, like It's like a 70s rock song that is about Jesus, right? Like, it doesn't feel like actual, like, the genre of gospel music, right?
It was classified. Sorry, I mean, I don't know, but it was, it's listed as it was gospel charting. It charted
right.
as gospel.
I mean,
as
I guess it's about Jesus, so that's all you need, right?
It's the second most requested song at funerals.
Really?
Yeah, behind Danny Boy. Ba-dum,
ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. That's so interesting when, so was he doing it almost as a, it was like, here, these idiots will love this? Because it kind of feels like he's like, oh, that looks real easy. He does
it. He wrote it as a joke, I think. He was in a sort of like Captain Beefheart band called like the Eggplant That Ate Chicago or something like that. And then he wrote this as a joke and people were like, this is just such a great gospel song. He's like, no, it's a fucking joke. And
that's so interesting. That happens so often. I've talked about it before, but the fact that that Steelers Wheel song Stuck in the Middle with You was them doing, like, basically seeing that Bob Dylan was so successful and being like, we're going to make fun of Bob Dylan with like a bunch of shitty Bob Dylan metaphors about clowns and jokers and like do an actual shitty Bob Dylan voice during the song. They're like going, clowns to left me, jokers. And like, oh, wow. It's their by far their biggest hit. Right. Of all
and that's
time.
The number one song to get tortured to. I'm not sure if most people know that, but that song is behind Danny Boy is the number. If you haven't seen Reservoir Dogs, that joke will make zero sense to you, but it is.
I think everyone's seen that. I think we can assume.
It's. I mean, yeah, I don't know why they call it gospel, maybe just because of the lyrics, because I wouldn't say like it has like the actual structure of traditional gospel music.
Right.
Like, sonically, but yeah, like I guess like in that sense, when they're like, well, if it's Jesus based, like that's, we'll put it in there in the gospel church.
Right.
Maybe a
it's
bit
a
of Lil Nas
song.
X when
yeah it's a
they were saying he wasn't
sure.
country
it's 100% a rock song. Also, it was issued under the name Norman Greenbaum. No one
come
no
on
one
guys.
Was like, is this guy Sam Cooke or something? Like, it was
yeah, it seems like it belongs squarely in the same category as the Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. What are some other like rock songs that are of that genre of like rock songs that seem like they could have been written by a 5-year-old? But
right.
they rule for sure. That's not an insult.
The MASH, the theme to MASH was Robert Altman said, okay, so for the theme music, we need something that sounds like it was written by a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Like literally written by a 10-year-old. Dun, and whoever was writing it couldn't do it. So Robert Altman's son, Michael, wrote the music and he was like 13 years old. And so there was a time where the 13-year-old son of Robert Altman was pulling in more money and royalties from MASH than Robert Altman was for writing the theme music.
Is that true?
It Holy really shit. Is. What? I mean, I may be messing up the names. Maybe it's not Michael Altman, but I think it is. But the song's called Suicide is Painless.
Yeah.
And
which that kid,
yeah,
that
Michael
13,
Altman.
That's a 13-year-old name. That's a 13-year-old coming up with that title, because that's some real angsty shit.
Okay, I hate to pull some string, like number crunch here. He was 15, apparently.
He was 15. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Please. What's his name? Michael Altman, though? Is it
yeah,
the name?
You got the Michael Altman 2 years off on the age. So, but we'll
okay,
let
sorry.
It stand.
I added some precocity to that kid.
Yeah, and Elvis also was doing like a bit. He was doing a fake character to make the session musicians laugh, and that's where he got, like, at first he was singing like himself, like he would sing, and then he started doing like a "Oh, thank you very much," like thing like that, and people were like, no, that actually slaps, keep doing that. And that's how he came up with the thing after like hours of just trying to sing in a straightforward way.
When I was I opened for Beck for a little while on the road.
What?
Back when people still back when people still did that, I did stand up and it was great. And one of his one of the folks that was touring with him told me that when it, you know that Loser, which is one of his most famous
yeah.
songs, where he was in the studio and he kept fucking something up. And I've not clarified this directly with Beck, but I've had this confirmed by other people, which is that he was like, he started singing about how he was a loser, and they're like, we're going to use that.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you come? I mean, like, he's unbelievable. So it's not like he's right. a fuck up, but I mean, yeah, I can imagine that people doing shit for laughs. Musicians are so painfully earnest that sometimes when they're occasionally not taking themselves seriously, maybe it's better than the stuff that they're doing.
Right. Cause right. they get out of their own way. Right. And it like just get by doing something silly or something. It just like gets it clears the signal for them or whatever it is.
Also, there's something about the alchemy of doing something simple.
Yeah.
And like, you know, my favorite, there's a piece by Eric Johnson, who's a great guitarist, called Cliffs of Dover, which is like famously like one of the hardest pieces to play on guitar, but it's got right. a really simple riff at the center of it. And he was like, yeah, I was taking my groceries in from the car. I wrote in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. You know? Sweet Child of Mine was a finger stretching exercise that Slash used to do.
Really?
There's like a bunch of stories like that where it's just like these very simple things, and like musicians just are too complicated. They get too complicated with it. They're too advanced.
You may know Custer Dover from being the hardest song to play in Guitar Hero, but it is very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, Through the Fire and Flames on like the hardest mode is also pretty intense too.
Oh yeah.
My Guitar Hero freaks out there.
Alex, what is something you think is underrated?
I've been ranting all day yesterday about a thing, but it's also music. So I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do it. But underrated is, I would say Mark Cohn's Walking in Memphis, which is stuck in my head. But in the theme of getting off the track, you know what's underrated? Just having plain rice.
Okay.
Just having warm rice with something is incredibly underrated. As warm rice with soy sauce is extremely decent snack, or warm rice with like seaweed or like the dried seaweed thing. Like I've had that for lunch a couple of days, and maybe it's just actually this is only acceptable in a pandemic. I'm realizing that as I say it, that this type of lifestyle is only acceptable. But like I've had like microwavable rice and it's pretty good. And I think, yeah, microwavable rice, I am just discovering it now. Is that the saddest underrated that you guys have ever had?
You're
top
honoring
five, right?
You're honoring the way of my people as we've been doing it for centuries. We have been eating the rice. I mean, yeah, Japanese, every meal is, you have to have rice on the table, like plain.
Yeah.
So I've done the thing too, where you can buy like the microwavable, like you pop it in for 90 seconds rather than like having to do a whole thing of it. And yeah, it's very, I even have Her Majesty, my partner. She's even fucking with the white rice, like being like, how about that? And then just a piece of salmon, and then we put that on the rice. I'm like, look at you. Look at you. Yes.
Thank you. Also, my girlfriend color-coded my bookshelf, and I was furious when she did that. Absolutely furious. I was like, it's categorized by pretentiousness. How dare you? And now I'm like, it's nice.
Kind of nice. Yeah,
it's kind
of yeah. It looks.
I'm thinking
really
about
good.
Doing that with my kids' children's bookshelf.
How long is that going to last, though?
Yeah, zero, like to that like, night. But there's it's currently a complete mess, and you can't find anything. So, we got too many books. Rice is in my in-laws' household. There's always a rice cooker just with hot rice in it that you can just like pop open. Get a spoonful of rice at any time. We have a rice cooker. We will often have like for a month stretch, just some rice warming in the rice cooker. I tried to make rice the other day and I don't know. I think it was the wrong kind of rice.
The machine?
What's that?
Wait, I'm
in the rice cooker machine.
You got a Korean fam. We have same rice. You have an auto rice cooker, right? You just put the shit in. You put the shit in.
It was brown rice, and for some reason, it like didn't cook all the way, and it was still like hard. And I put water in it multiple times. I cooked it multiple times. I was like, surely this will make it soft, and it was just dry and hard. And I was ashamed and wish I hadn't just shared that on the show. Yeah, what is something, Alex, you think is overrated?
Fran Lebowitz. If I wanted to hear an old Jew complain, I'd listen to me. I am so... They're fine. They're basic complaining observations that everyone has. They're not... I'm actually not kidding. More worried about saying this on a recorded medium than I've ever been about it, saying anything. I don't want to get canceled for... I like Fran Lebowitz a lot. I've read everything she's ever published, which is like 3 books. And they're small. I just don't understand why someone who's basically been tweeting since 1979 is this grand doyen of like curmudgeonliness. It's fine. It is the... And by the way, everyone's like, oh, she's such an avant-garde figure. Everyone enjoys her. I don't know a single... Like, by the way, I don't even hate Fran Lebowitz. I think Fran Lebowitz is great. I just don't think Fran Lebowitz needs to be inaugurated into the brown paper bag pantheon of New York City where everyone's like, she's just, you see her on the street. She's not a deity. And so now there's like a Martin Scorsese documentary where he laughs at her bon mots about how people walk too slow on the sidewalk, which is the same thing everyone's been complaining about since 1984. I don't understand why she's so famous.
Pretend it's a city is what it's called, because that's her joke, is pretend it's a city and act like there are people around you.
It's one bit, and it's old. It's one bit, and I'm done with it. I want to see the positive Fran Lebowitz spins. I know that she's angry. That's fine. I'm angry too. Just show me something. Also, spicy tuna crispy rice. Very overrated. While we're on the rice topic, spicy tuna crispy rice. It's everywhere. I was about to say epidemic, but we've got to be careful about our word choice these days. It's everywhere. Spicy tuna crispy rice, and they're not all created equal. Some are really good, some really bad, but as a concept, it's overrated. And I like now there's a restaurant in Glendale, California, near where I live, and they have a sign outside that says no spicy tuna crispy rice, which I appreciate.
Thank God.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's, yeah. I know like Nobu did it first, mm-hmm. and that was like the thing. And everyone, oh, funny, you had the crispy rice. And then it just became like the cupcake phenomenon of like Japanese restaurants where it's like, yes. You gotta have a crispy rice thing. And like Japanese people were like, for who? Because we don't want that. Like, that ain't, no, I'm not, my, when I go there with like my family or my mom or whatever, we're not like, yo, we gotta get the crispy rice. It's just a very, I think it being at Nobu made it this sort of, it elevated it to this idea of like fancy Japanese restaurant dish. But yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like more fast food.
Sorry, I'm very concerned now about my, I don't want to have my credentials as a devout New York Jew revoked. So please, guys, be kind if you are big Fran Lebowitz, and please, I also don't want Fran Lebowitz to find out because she's a scary lady. So
I think you could match wits with Fran.
Yeah, I think you'd be fine. I think it would actually be would, good for you. I think you should start a feud with Fran Lebowitz. It could be like East Coast, West Coast thing now that you're in LA.
Wouldn't be great if Fran Lebowitz is like, I don't beef down.
Yeah. She's like, get your numbers up, ho.
Don't beef down. I got a Martin Scorsese special under my belt, son. Yeah. I don't need you.
Yeah, keep doing these grainy ass podcasts, motherfucker.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And let's talk LA, greatest city in the world. Just the best. That it has the entertainment industry, which, you know,
which has poisoned Earth's mind.
All right, let's talk about this. LA, rich people are doing their most. I'm assuming it's not just LA rich people, but Variety just came out with an article about how this is epidemic in the entertainment industry.
You know it's like good because Variety wrote it, because they know, like, they are these people. So it's they're telling on themselves, you know, like they know the agents and the studio execs and all these super, like the Geffens and all of those people. They hear this shit and they put in an article that isn't like as critical of the of this phenomenon. It's more like, wow, the lengths people will go, huh? Without like having any kind of take on the morality of it. So, yes, they are doing fucking all kinds of things to like legal options, which is like, how do I jump the line? So what they'll do, they'll take like private physicians and go to these like bespoke healthcare places and like lean on the physician, be like, what the fuck, bro? You're usually able to get me fucking anything. Get me the fucking vaccine. Or being like, what can I donate? Or asking friends who work on the boards of hospitals, like, what can I do for you personally? Can you help me somehow get the vaccine? And that's one way. Or other people are taking private jets to Florida for like vaccination tourism, as they call it, just to get there because it's much easier to fuck around in Florida. And that's just the legal shit. There's another guy, Dr. Wizenga in Beverly Hills, said that he's been offered like bribes in the tens of thousands by individuals to get their whole families or whatever vaccinated before everyone else. They're also just saying like he's also seen people trying to ask him how they could, quote, transiently get into the healthcare profession or on staff at nursing homes so they qualify for early vaccines. Yeah, so I get it. The rollout has been a shit show. Obviously, like my own parents who are in over 65 and are able to get a vaccine, it's been very difficult, or, you know, it's been a start stop process, but I've been getting there. But it's just sort of like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't understand why they think that gives them the right to, I don't know, like cut the line in front of a fucking essential medical worker, or what they think happens once they're vaccinated. Like, oh, now everything's now Spago will reopen because I'm vaccinated. Like, what's
the lack of awareness as a member of a community that it requires to do the, like, as the people who are most able to continue to distance and stay out of harm's way, they're so fully bought into the, like, sort of me first individualism of the West that they can't even see that, or I don't know, they don't want to. There is a story in Vancouver, but it does have an entertainment industry connection. A rich 50-year-old and his wife, who is a 32-year-old actress who was in the movies Fat Man and Chick Fight. They chartered a plane.
Good movie.
Like Batman and the Joker, Fat Man and Chick Fight?
No, those are separate movies.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was just like, that sounds kind of high concept.
But they chartered a plane to a tribal land in the Yukon that has 100 people and posed as local shopkeepers to get the vaccine when it was being given to elderly indigenous people.
That is elaborate. That is some heist movie shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a heist movie where you're rooting against the people pull. It's like the worst Ocean's 11 where you're like, God, I mean, I hope they're caught.
Right. It's Ekaterina Baker and her husband's name is like Rodney Baker or something like that. Is the name of the couple.
Rodney.
Vancouver Rodney. Just went down a couple spots on my favorite city list because of that.
I get no respect. I tell you. I get no respect because I'm a petty criminal. I tell you.
Just guys, because I'm appropriating your indigenous culture to get a vaccine. Whoa.
I got a fake mustache and I was sussed out pretty quick. I kept doing an Indian accent. It was the wrong kind. Oh, God.
It ends up being, it sounds like a really fucked up scene from The Office. That would have actually happened where Michael tries to get a vaccine on like tribal ground.
That's so funny. And he has a rationale for it that he's definitely, by the way, like my dad got a vaccine. My dad is an ICU doctor in Boston. He's one of the first to get a vaccine and I was relieved, but it's by no means like a get out of jail free card. You've got to be really careful and you can still pass it on to people, and it's it's really not great to get it, even if you have you can still, it's scary.
Yeah. Considering the environment we're in too. It's like, you can, but that doesn't change the overall picture, the situation you're in.
You're so right about Spago. Like these people do think they're like, well, I've got vaccinated. When's Spago going to be
They're going to be like, let us in, Wolfgang.
But you know, have you heard about this? So in LA, there's something called overflow lines where they can't waste these vaccines once they're open. So you can wait on an overflow line and get a vaccine if, you know, people don't show up for their appointments, or if people can't show up for their appointments, or if they've got extra stuff left at the end of the day. So there is a way to get the vaccine legally. It still doesn't seem great, though, because the LA Times wrote an article a few days ago about how, you know, there's a district in LA that's 97%, black and Latino, and their overflow line was almost exclusively white people who had heard about it as sort of like a life hack and were coming to get it. And they asked a bunch of people on the line if they thought it was okay. And everyone was like, yeah, sure, but don't use my name in the article.
Right.
So they know.
It's a tough one because on one hand, like philosophically, like you can't waste these vaccines. Like that is just absolutely fucked up. And I think the tone of it, because we were actually discussing it, like Daniel and Anna and I actually over the weekend, because we were like reading that article. It had a very weird tone about people who were like trying not to waste it, but it just seemed to more be like, look at these youngsters just fucking trying to get the vaccines or whatever, which I get on one hand. Yeah, like going somewhere to a community that already has a lack of resource to be like, can I get your overflow? Is definitely not like the best look. But then you also like wish, like, why can't we like have more, you know, like I know there's a lot of people having trouble getting the vaccines too, like to get to a place to get it. That in that same breath, like, couldn't you have, you know, like they're talking about having paramedics or ambulances be mobile like vaccinators who will pull up to you and be like, here's your vaccine. Is that you? Boom, 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 to like help address, you know, all the fucking holes that we have in the distribution plan. But yeah, it seems like
that's systemic failure. I feel like with the you know, overflow lines, that is systemic failure and just, you know, this a system that is based on white supremacy and not paying attention to the distribution in communities that are primarily persons of color. Like that is just a symptom of that overall failure. The people who flew up to the tribal lands to steal those vaccines face a $900 fine for doing that. So it's like there's just so many systemic like ways that the systemically we're kind of fucked.
Understand. I mean, like what we're finding out right now is who would push women and children out of the way to get into the lifeboats in the Titanic.
Yeah,
it's just like, would you
dress up as a woman or child to get on?
Yeah, that's the Billy Zane character right now trying to get into the lifeboats. But it is, like you say, like, why can't we have a better rollout? Like, I think now we will, because there was a good op-ed I'm sure you guys maybe covered it, but there was a good op-ed a couple of weeks ago that, like, Biden's vaccine rollout plan is insanely obvious.
Yeah, and starting from zero. Yeah,
and it's saying that no one's tried it yet. And, you know, at the same time, like, you know, the optics of the 21st century are, you know, something that, because Miles is right, like, those vaccines shouldn't go to waste. It's just figuring out a better way to give them out to people. That's,
yeah,
you know.
And on top of that, in communities like that, access to a computer and shit like that is not the same as being like, okay, Santa Monica, here's the website, sign up for vaccines. And another thing I just want to say to even listeners too, if you know older people, ask them if they need help getting a vaccine. Because let me tell you, that shit is, some of these websites are fucking so backwards that even someone in their 30s, 20s, whatever, are like, this is fucked up. I like implore you to check on elderly people who are eligible to and offer to sign them up, because that's a whole other barrier to entry with this thing, where it's like, we have to find a way to make it as easy as possible for everyone. Because, yeah, a lot of times they're figuring out, a lot of older people are like, oh, I didn't know, or like, I don't have a phone that does internet, or when I do, it's very sparse. So, yeah, just another sign that we all have to help each other, you know, when obviously the official rollout isn't adequate enough.
Yes.
I mean, this is kind of a slippery slope, but this does seem like the sort of, like, not just a $900 fine being leveled up, so it's more, but this also feels like, you know, we need to have a population going forward that is willing to think collectively, as we're about to talk about with like the many parallels between COVID and climate change. And like the fact that these people are outing themselves, like I feel like, I don't know, at the very least, we should be using that as information for like how to deal with those people going forward, and, you know, how to not necessarily punish them, but get them out of the way, you know, in terms of what our plans are and how we're going to run as society. Because right now they're just, we'll talk later about this Florida attempt to get the Olympics this summer, where this guy writes a letter to the Olympic Commission. And his first paragraph or second paragraph, he says, like, I can put you in contact or give you the right connections, help you make the right contacts. It's like there's so much of the current economy and just like how the world works that's all based on like connections and like rich people doing favors for other rich people. And like, we really need a drastic shift in that shit.
Because also, like, our consumer culture is so based around like exclusivity and things like that, and having the plug or having access, that it's like it perverts all these other things too, like, of just sort of like, oh, I could get that, like, right, you can't get that, I can get that because I'm here or whatever. And that's the mentality of these people trying to get vaccines and things like that. But also, I wonder if it's just a bit of like just nihilism from these people who are like, fuck it, dude, it's fucked, and the only way I'm gonna get through this is because I'm richer than everyone, and that's just how I'm rolling now. Fuck it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like you mentioned, with in some of the cases, it's like people trying to get it for their whole family. And like, I can appreciate, you know, when you have a loved one who you're really trying to protect. But, you know, I still think that there is an inherently rotten set of ideals at the core of this. Like, when you say consumer culture, I'm thinking of like, you know, sneaker drops and shit like that. But that's at least a democratically, like, people who show up first get the first shoes, or, you know, and
yeah, but it's been perverted by bot. But I'm saying, like, it used to be, it's like anything, it used to be like that. And now there are people who are perverting it, exploiting it, being like, okay, I have bots
right.
to get as extract as many sneak pairs of sneakers, and then I flip those, blah, blah, blah. Like, because it's all this idea that there's, yes, there's one value to something, and then there's a whole other value to it to someone else, like as a resale or something that's different yeah. or that I have access to. And that we just don't, there's just like, yeah.
You're right. Like, understanding this is not a commodity. Right. It's not a thing that is like, it's not a fucking Snickers bar or a Jeff Koons piece. Like, this is right. it's a vaccine that's being provided by the government in a way that is actually kind of, this is a poison word, but socialist. It's just like, this is for everybody. This is the people who need it first are going to get it. And you can't skip the line. This is in some ways extremely egalitarian, although, as Miles points out, of course, it's not if you can't access a computer. But, you know, this point-to-point distribution is not something that we're used to as, you know, as people who live in a capitalist society.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, but I have more money, so that means I'm better. So how come I don't get vaccine? I think it's literally
VIP
the thought
process. Vaccine I could get?
Right. You
know. But I mean, a lot of the times these are people who, you know, they bought into that idea the most that, you know, when they didn't have all the, obviously a lot of these people are people who inherited their wealth, like America's as based on like inheritance as any country in the world. And it's ridiculous that they have this, or that we have this individualism ideal at the center of it, and pull yourself up by your bootstraps because it's so much. But rich people have a way of self-reinforcing this idea that like they've earned it, they deserve it because and it's just very
because
frustrating.
It's reinforced in every other in every other way. You know, I got a text a couple days ago from someone who, you know, cares about me and my girlfriend, and they were like, that was before the articles came out. It was the information about overflow lines that they had heard from a friend. It was word of mouth that was spreading in sort of the Western LA community that they could go get a shot. And they went and got a shot. And they were like, you should go do that. You should take a chair and sit out there at, you know, go get a chair and sit out there at 5 a.m. and see if when it opens, you can be first in line. And it just didn't sit right, and so it didn't do it. But it was, you know, people. It's gonna be weird next couple
it's
months.
It's the radio sweepstakes. Like, we're gonna do hands on a hard body for this COVID vaccine. whoever can keep their hands on the. I do want to talk about this New York Times op-ed from a climate scientist pointing out that we could use this as an opportunity, like the, you know, global pandemic that we're all living through that has completely upended what normal life was heading into the year 2020. We could use that to create a new normal. And basically we have to use that to create a new normal because what used to be our normal lives has been vastly disrupted, and we need to rebuild our lives in a way that is going to avoid, you know, the global catastrophe that we're all headed for from climate change. But his op-ed is very actionable and very much like, and so we must do this to do. And, but another way to look at this was a test case of how willing as Americans we are to change our lives to accommodate the freedom and survival of others. And we've just been shockingly bad at it. Like they talk about, the first thing we have to do, let go of the idea that life will ever be normal again. And I mean, just look at the story we were just talking about. Like, everybody is pushing each other out of the way to get the vaccine so they can go back to fucking Spago or whatever. And like, I just don't think like all this op-ed, any analysis we give, like there's just down to the core, down to the very DNA of what America is and what the Western cultural ideals are, is rotten or is incompatible with the continued survival of the species. Like none of this will matter. Like if people can't be taught to value collectivism, and you know, you see it in pop culture. I was saying like the Martian is like a fantasy where the global community kind of joins together on one specific mission. I'm reading this book, The Three Body Problem, that has like kind of a similar-ish ideal, or at least moments of that. And I think like we are fantasizing about that idea that we could be a more collectivist society, but like there, it's just, I think we currently have to go to the realm of fantasy to even like approach that because we're so far from it right now.
Collectivism? What is that? Some Lord of the Rings shit?
Right. Yeah. It's just, it is basically fantasy at this point.
I mean, it's tough because this has been easier on some people than it has been on others, obviously. And, you know, some of the industries that we've, you know, that have been built over the last century rely on people using them. And right. their survival now is predicated on the idea that this is somehow temporary. And so, and we're going to lose like a big, I mean, the biggest issue of the election cycle after this next one is going to be what happens to jobs that are lost to automation. And, right. you know, putting everybody into, you know, domiciles and letting this life continue ad nauseum or cycling through various things, like it'll have an impact. And, but yeah, I mean, it does seem, Greta Thunberg was saying the same thing. Like, yeah, if we can do this for a pandemic, we should be able to do this for something else world threatening. But it's not like, you know, I'm worried here that I sound like a little conservative, but like the deaths from the, like Maricopa County's numbers for overdoses came out yesterday, and there were 700 more deaths from overdosers in 2020 than there were in 2019. And that's one county in right. Arizona. And like, you know, I'm not saying, you know, the Republican talking point is that this is worse than no lockdown. And that's not true. But right. But an indefinite lockdown or the prospect of further lockdowns, like I can see that taking a real, you know, and part of me also thinks that this is an irresponsible solution. This is a sledgehammer solution, a lockdown where we should be advanced enough as a species to take scalpel solutions to the problems. Like we should, but you know, I know that's, it's, I feel like I sound like really unfunny right now. Like this is not I'm also a comedian, so I shouldn't be trusted. And my job depends on people, getting together in large spaces. So I am both biased and uninformed, but, with that said, I don't know. I think it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, well, I think the despair deaths are obviously a phenomenon just across the country that we're not addressing in general. And like so much of that has to do with inequality. And again, the messages that are reinforced in people's minds of what success looks like or what it means to be happy or what you have to have. And yeah, I mean, it's just like that's why this whole thing is just such an omni crisis. Like it this whole pandemic is just like it's just showing all of the things that we have to address urgently to try and bring some sense of equilibrium back to like this place. But yeah, it's definitely trying.
Yeah, I don't think there's a easy solution. I'm not suggesting like we change reality so that like people don't like getting together in groups or anything like that, but just at a very basic level, this central myth of Americanism that it's all pull yourself up by your bootstraps, can't accept help, you know, rewriting successful people's stories to cut out all the incredible amounts of help that they got from their families and from the business partners that they cut out of these deals. Like that stuff is all poisonous, and I feel like needs to more and more be viewed as such, and we need to
right.
like rewrite some of this history and some of our pop culture so that we acknowledge that is a myth, and that we need each other, and we need to have like a more of a collectivist mentality if we're gonna continue on. And like, I think there are creative solutions to a lot of the problems that people treat as intractable with both the pandemic and with fossil fuels, that like, well, if when we put our mind to it, like I do think we can come together and like act in a way that is beneficial to the species as a whole. I just think that there is this poisonous myth that is keeps pulling us, like it's like this gravitational pull of the American founding myth that really keeps fucking things up.
I do believe that. I don't know. Is it too starry-eyed to think that we'll figure it out? Like I do think that we'll eventually transition completely away from fossil fuels. Like, I think we will, you know, eventually figure out a way to like put more oxygen back instead of taking it out. In terms of like carbon sequestration and things like that, like environmental science is really complicated, but it's also becoming more and more popular as a field, and people are spending more and more time in it. But yeah, obviously the problem is now. So the question is, what are we doing about it now? But I also think it's interesting to think about how we're going to come out of this pandemic, because some people are like, oh, it's going to be the roaring 20s and people are going to fucking go to nightclubs every night. And I think what actually is going to happen is that people who used to do it every night now will be comfortable doing it. Like, I don't think anyone now who was a season ticket holder to a Major League Baseball team feels like they need to go to every game. I think season ticket holders are like, we could go to 3 Braves games a year. And, or we could go, you know, if we're a fan of the Mets, we can, or the Pirates, we can go to 1 game a year. But like, we'll see what happens after this, whether or not like everyone's exploding into vacations, or if people are like, you know what, a trip to the supermarket is enough for me. So like,
yeah,
let's see how people's behavior changes.
Yep. Well, speaking of changes, let's talk about this Florida CFO real quick. He reached out to the president of the Olympic Committee, I guess, and is offering up the Sunshine State as a new location if Tokyo keeps fucking around with this we're too scared of the pandemic thing.
This letter is the most Florida, like, agro-capitalist fucking shit. It's so weird. This guy, first of all, like you were saying, CFO of the state of Florida? What? I guess so, yeah. Jimmy Patronus, who sounds like a molly
Jimmy
dealer at
Patronus?
Hogwarts. Yes. That's his whole vibe.
His name Molly is Jimmy dealer at Hogwarts.
It's like his whole fucking perfect. Hey, go to Jimmy Patronus. He's got he's the plug. He wrote this. This letter is so wild because it's like, it's full of fantastic, just, you know, let's ignore the pandemic takes, and also just dunking on people. So yeah, like you're saying, Jack, in the beginning, he was talking about how, you know, with media reports of leaders in Japan privately concluding that they are too concerned about the pandemic for the 2021 Olympics to take place, there is still time to deploy a site selection team to Florida to meet with statewide. Okay, we get it. You want that. Japan is too pussy about the pandemic to have it, apparently.
It was amazing that he was able to type that while making the jerk off hand motion he was clearly making while typing it. Yeah.
I mean, look, the ghost is in the ink. You can see it right there. And then goes on to say, just to be like, yo, DeSantis is like, the letter goes on, quote, when most of the major states were shutting down their economies, we were fortunate enough to have a governor that recognized the important balance of fighting the virus with keeping the economy open. Moreover, Governor DeSantis has partnered with private blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. You hat tipped to Ron DeSantis, who's absolute whatever. They keep going. to talk about how Florida has been fine for other things, too. State of Florida has successfully allowed sports to take place, like the NBA. Additionally, our international tourist destinations like Disney parks have been open and operating safely in Florida for some time. In fact, Disney serves as an incredible model for how to run a complex organization in the midst of COVID-19. False. We've talked about how much of a shit show that place is. There's no mask compliance. They're photoshopping masks on people on Splash Mountain photos because they don't want it to get out that the place is not really doing that great in terms of safety. And like the NBA, like these aren't one-to-one comparisons, my man. That was a fucking bubble where there weren't even fans. So what are you positing? That it'll be a bubble, like the state will fucking cut itself off? I mean, I have no problem with that, but what is the exact logic here of being able to have the Olympics in the United States? It's not just Florida. It's technically we're in the United States where we are not doing well with this pandemic at all. So, Jimmy, please.
Jimmy,
hey, but you know,
Patronus.
Please contact my office at 850-413-4900 to schedule a meeting. Come on, Jimmy. Really? You think that's what they're... The IOC is going to be like, hey, he's got a point.
Yo, hit this dude up.
Yeah.
You have an 8500 number?
850. 8500 would be funny. Call me at 8500.
Is that the real number? Did they put that's his number. The real number?
His letter is published on the website, which is because I was like, what? MyFloridaCFO.com. Which was like, this real? Like, that's not even a government website.
Can we call him?
All I'm saying, Miles, is you speak fluent Japanese. We have this dude's phone number.
What's his number?
850-413-2842. This is the comms office for the CFO.
I mean, that's
hey.
Hold on, let's see.
Use a European accent.
Let's see. I mean, they got to pick up. What if I'm the Olympic committee?
Thank you for calling the communications office of CFO and State Fire Marshal Jimmy Patronus.
Jimmy
Patronus!
We can't
take your call right now, but please leave a message and we will return it. If you require assistance immediately, try emailing us at communications@cfo.com.
Okay.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or press pound for more options.
Hi, Jimmy. My name is Alex Edelman. I am a Bostonian and longtime fan of Olympic sports. My brother, Adam Edelman, competed in the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. And listen, I am launching a rival bid. I want Boston to host the Summer Olympics. I want the marathon to go from Fenway Park. We have a Boston Marathon course. We have it already set up. We don't know why you're doing this. Frankly, Boston is way better suited to host the Olympics. Please call me to discuss. My phone number is 617. Happy to argue about it. And listen, I've got the plug. All right, bye.
Great.
Patronus!
Patronus,
got him.
Baby.
Oh, I mean, patroned him.
I hope he calls you.
He won't. But I mean, it's insane that, first of all, I am one of these people that believe that the Olympics works when, by the way, please bleep my number. I'm not Jay Patronus. I don't want people having my phone number. But I the Olympics can be great. It was great for LA in 1984. It was, you know, it was bad for Sarajevo. It was good for Barcelona. It was good for London 2012. It was bad for Sydney. Like, the Olympics is a site-specific thing. It's a huge infrastructural challenge, and part of the complex pitching process for the Olympics is trying to promise the Olympics, the IOC, that hey, you're not just gonna bulldoze a bunch of homeless shelters and put up a stadium. And right. So like, you can't just be like, hey, why don't you have the Olympics? It doesn't fucking work that way.
I can,
it's so dumb.
They've got a ton of facilities.
And I do feel like one of the things they brag about is being able to just like put up these huge facilities and arenas on like within a year. Like, there's no healthy way to do that for your community unless you already have all the infrastructure. like LA obviously already has a bunch of really beautiful waterways that they'll be holding the Olympic events at. The LA River, I can already picture.
Oh, for the kayaking?
The kayak races in the LA River. That'll be cool.
Yeah. Look, LA is complicated. 84 is the only, like, the model for right. good Olympics. But, I mean, right now, the No Olympics campaign here is pretty strong. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk about sliceable hot sauce.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back, and we're still marveling at the name Jimmy Patronus, the fact that he's the state fire marshal and CFO. That sounds like CFO was just tacked on there.
Can
for
you
sure.
buy these jobs or something?
Or make them up?
I'm also Marky the Panhandle, the state mascot. Yeah. Marky the Panhandle. I do everything around here. I'm the groundskeeper in Everglades National Park, southern corner. I'm a bridge repairman from Key Biscayne to Key West. Like,
right.
Jimmy Patronus, my business card is full.
Everything. I guess, you know, it's just the equivalent of being the controller. Other state, like, we call it a control. I think that's just what they're just being real corporate about. I'm like, the CFO giving it that rather than calling it the state controller.
Just imagine they're like, hey, we had a pretty good Olympics, guys. We lost 3 triathletes to crocodiles during right. the swimming
gators,
portion.
Sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, oh, that's those right. I'm so sorry.
He ain't from here.
Yeah, it's insane too. But hey, look, a Florida Olympics is not a bad idea, but just not also yeah. Japan, let them have this. They've been
nailing the yeah.
Well, I don't know. Not nailing, it's tough. But better I think, right, I just in general, like, until you can guarantee safety for all, like, why yeah. are we talking about this? That should just, yeah. that's where the conversation should
well,
end.
Well, you know what? Shut down. Look, as someone who went to the Olympics in 2018, shut it down. Like, just have bubble competitions because, frankly, most of the events are empty because the tickets go to corporate sponsors. So you'll be at a figure skating event that's sold out. And tickets are going for, you know, hundreds of dollars on the street, and the event's empty because the actual tickets are sitting on the desk of some middle manager at Goodyear in Detroit. Like, it just, they don't right. have, it's not a spectator-friendly event anyhow. Like, put them in a
bubble.
I wonder
if that's also what's happening with the vaccine, is all the vaccines are sitting on the desk of some middle manager in Goodyear. It's like, you need to get corporate sponsorship, bro. Come on.
Hey, what are all those vials? Ah, shit. I was supposed to put those in the freezer.
I was supposed to use these, wasn't I?
Let's talk about a couple of the spoils of capitalism. We have a fruit leather version of hot sauce, a sliceable hot sauce that was
what
just.
Are you doing?
I mean, its growth has been accelerated because it appeared on Shark Tank, and guest star Alex Rodriguez. Bought into the concept with a $200,000 investment. So, yeah, get ready to never see this ever.
Well, it started anywhere. Like it was a Kickstarter for ketchup slices. And people were like, ooh, this is interesting. First of all, and I'm like, no, I don't want a condiment that like I chew through. That's not
yikes. The whole.
No. Anyway, so the newest development is because Alex Rodriguez came through with the $200,000. They're like, okay, well, now we're collaborating with name brand hot sauces. So now they're offering Frank's Red Hot Original Cayenne and Secret Aardvark Habanero hot sauce as their new slices. Now, what you get is an 8-slice pack for $5.99. And to that, I say, fuck no. Goodbye. Get out
hot
my
sauce
face.
Is hot sauce in small amounts. It's free.
Yeah. I
don't pay for a condiment. I won't do it.
A dried out version that's chewy.
Eight slices for six. You can buy the bottled shit. I don't understand what the advantage is at this point.
What like, do you think I am? Made of money?
Yeah.
Do you see me chartering a plane to the Yukon to cheat indigenous people out of vaccines? No. Spending that money on hot sauce fruit leather.
Yeah, you go to any place and grab handfuls and put them in your pockets.
Yes.
Another way people are spending their money that I wanted to highlight is Budweiser. So.
Oh, can I just say one thing?
Yes.
I just have to have my Auntie Frank's screed really quick because I do not like Frank's hot sauce. I don't think it's hot sauce. I think it's this weird wing sauce that people call hot sauce. And I
What's
don't
the
like
difference?
It. It's just it's not like a hot sauce, you know, like a Tabasco is a hot sauce to me. Crystal is a fucking hot sauce, but Frank's is just this abomination. It's not, wow. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's like when Lil Wayne tried to play guitar, like it ain't it. I see what you're doing, but no, nobody wanted this or needed this.
The only thing I know about hot sauce is that Hillary Clinton carries a bottle in her bag. So that's the
claims to
everything
after
I know
Beyonce
about hot sauce.
Claimed to she,
yeah,
I remember. Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know. I was making fun.
Right.
I was.
All right, let's talk about Super Bowl commercials real quick because it seems like a lot of companies don't really know how to Super Bowl commercial this year. There are companies that are deciding not to buy Super Bowl ads like Budweiser because it costs more than $5 million for a 30-second slot. And people are worried if they're funny, it may seem insensitive. If they're somber and reflective, they might depress people. And, you know, you don't want to hire Jeff Goldblum to dress up like his character from Independence Day to sell life insurance for nothing. so Earlier this month, Coca-Cola announced that they would not be buying an ad in the Super Bowl, claiming they would instead, quote, ensure we are investing in the right resources during these unprecedented times, which is, I think, the vaguest corporate statement ever made. Ensure we're investing in the right resources during these unprecedented times.
Unless you're coming out and being like, yo, the NFL is like a modern plantation where it's just built on a pile of discarded bodies who break themselves for very little support after retirement. And because of that, we are no longer buying ads.
Right.
Then I get it.
Yeah.
I wish there was one radical conglomerate. I wish there was one, just one company that made hand soap or something like that. And it was just like, I wish it was a Ben and Jerry's, but huge. Like,
right.
I wish Ben and Jerry's wasn't just partially owned by Unilever, and Unilever right. every single day was like, just so you know, we're for killing all firefighters. And you're like, what? Why? And they're like, we're the radical conglomerate and we have to surprise people and this is what we do. But I've written some Super Bowl ads. And
whoa.
Yeah, and they're fun. And it's the one time as like copywriters are just like, hey, do whatever you want. Like it's an unlimited right. budget. Like we could get William Hurt if you need. I don't know why he's the example of a star. I'm thinking.
I love it.
Third build star of broadcast news, William Hurt. But I
national
think,
treasure.
Yeah. William Hurt. Yeah. I mean, I seems like a bad guy, but
oh, for sure.
Yeah. Horrible man. But I do think that, that like doing it this year, you don't know the dollar value of what the Super Bowl is going to be. Like that's right. really the reason that companies won't be buying Super Bowl ads, because they don't know what they're getting. And usually the things that people try to sell during the Super Bowl, they sell, you know, these are money items. Things that people spend money on. People spend yeah. their disposable income on the items that are advertised during the Super Bowl. They buy beer, they buy cereal. They buy peanuts. They buy, you know, fucking, you know, insurance of different kinds or domain yeah. names and things like that. Coke and Pepsi. And now it's hard to know what people are spending where people are going to be spending their disposable income this next year. It's hard to know what the marketing value is. So like, I'm not surprised that people
one miscalculation I think is that people are saying part of that calculus that went into not buying is that people. These brands were worried the Super Bowl might not happen because there could be a surge in COVID right before it. That's not going to stop the Super Bowl, y'all.
No,
like that. That's not going. They're going to. You mean the season hasn't stopped. In COVID like the last 5 months? What do you think is
Tom Brady
happening here?
Tom Brady could be sneezing in everyone's face the day of the Super Bowl, and they'd be like, "Yeah, I mean, he has COVID, but he's still playing. Like it's right. the Super Bowl."
I mean, his yeah. parents have it currently.
I mean, when the Dodgers won, Justin yeah. Turner tested positive and he was running out there celebrating. And we very quickly were like, you know.
Yeah.
He just yep. won.
Coca-Cola. So Coke announced they weren't going to be doing the Super Bowl. Pepsi, like now there's this arms race to not be doing Super Bowl ads. Pepsi was like, we won't be advertising at the Super Bowl. They except. Mountain Dew, a bunch of Pepsi on snacks are running commercials during the Super Bowl. And Pepsi, the beverage Pepsi, is the sponsor of the halftime show.
Yeah.
And they're so committed to the halftime show that they claimed even if the game was canceled, there would still be a halftime show. And
who's
they believe
doing
people
the halftime show? Bruno Mars or someone?
The Weeknd.
Oh, okay. Great.
That's not a
fit. Not, yeah. Not always the.
I mean, unless he's doing House of Balloons,
like, right? Yeah, he seems like a very niche performer for the Super Bowl. But I guess that "Blinding Light" song was a big hit.
Yeah,
but
I'm just saying personally.
Now Budweiser is claiming they're making headlines for pulling their ads from the Super Bowl for the first time since 1983. Instead, they've pledged to donate the money they would have spent on the ad to coronavirus vaccination efforts. Sounds great. Except they're still buying 4 minutes worth of ads for their other products during the Super Bowl. So their vaccine awareness, less important than letting people know about the cool, refreshing taste of Bud Light Seltzer Lemonade. But their actually also paying money to advertise the fact that they're not advertising during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's not how that works.
They made one of those pandemic-themed soft piano music ads where, and they specifically like called out, starting Monday, the brand will air an ad that celebrates resilience during the pandemic, including a socially distanced birthday parade and athletes in Black Lives Matter jersey. So, in other words, like literally every ad that has come out since
the fucking God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of this shit, Jack. Make it stop. Why can't we? That's been a big despair factor at the beginning of the pandemic. All these ads were so there was a blissful quiet from advertisers at the beginning of this pandemic, and it lasted 3 months.
Yep.
3 months. And now, and then after that, they were like, you might as well get it at Olive Garden. Like, yeah. It's just like, if you're going to get sick here, you know, like, get sick with. I'm so tired of the.
And
like,
also, while we pretend to be part of the solution by highlighting the efforts of people who are actually doing selfless work and basically corporatize that and like devalue that so that somehow, like, the acts of. The first responders and the frontline workers are cheapened by our goal of selling you Olive Garden.
There's a soft serve ice cream shop in Monterey Park, that me and my girlfriend love. It's called Big Softy, and they are shut. And I called. I was like, "Why? You know, they're like, they're shut. They're not even doing takeout." And I was like, I'm just curious. I wasn't like, why are you shut? I was just hoping no one died.
Right.
Like, I was just hoping that there wasn't like an outbreak, because we go there, you know, once every 2 weeks. It's tiny. It's, you know, owned and run by the same people. It's really small. And they're like, you know, we can't justify the cost of staying open, not financially, but just like if anyone gets sick. And so they're like, and we're shutting down our Instagram. We're shutting down. Like, they're just like, they've stopped everything. They're like, we'll be back when things get better. And like
hibernation,
I really would appreciate if one company didn't do a Super Bowl ad and didn't tell me that they weren't going to do Super Bowl ad. It'd just be nice if they were just like, I need a press release explaining why Budweiser's not doing it. I don't need it. Just stop.
But not just a press release, an entire ad campaign.
No, I think this is part of like sort of like that op-ed, right, about collectivism and how do we shift the culture. It's like right now we pat people, like we love elevating like the singular hero or like this influencer or whatever. And until we like really change like who our heroes are to people who work together, who aren't interested in glory for themselves, who are selfless, like that will slowly seep into like this corporate world where they're like, see, we also, our CEO also took like half the salary to make sure that workers would stay employed through a pandemic. See, we did that. Here's a press release. And we actually did it. Like, you almost have to, rig that game too for these people, because like, they clearly over the summer and pandemic, like, see, we heard about white supremacy. Yes. We'll do one ad about that, and we'll pretend to give a fuck. We'll only pretend, but at least we started to talk about that. I'm like, it's like you have to begin to pull the momentum somewhere in another direction. Where I could really see like this like your idea of a radical company, Alex, as one that's like this corporate entity that's like, if we just get out there and we're like the Bernie Sanders of corporations, like we're gonna be fucking killing it. You know what I mean? And that's what it'll be. It'll be cynical, but
you can't fake that shit. You can't fake it. Like, I hate to be a super white guy, but David Foster Wallace said, he's like, advertising can never be art because it's not a gift in any way. It always like demands some shit from you.
Right.
And like, there's a psychic cost to watching an ad. There's a reason you have to sit through an ad before you get your free YouTube video, because it sucks, because it takes a little bit away from your day. It's an assault. Ads are an assault on you. I know. I used to write them. They are awful. I still write them. If anyone needs copywriting work, there's a link on my website. But ads ads are truly, got to get that money. But ads are truly awful. They are really, really tough. And in this time, doing them is really irresponsible. Making people sit through them, like, it's the straw on the camel's back right now. So
making people sit through them to watch the news. It's like, oh my God. I mean, we still have advertiser supported news, and that's Anyways, buy our great products that we'll advertise.
Come through and we'll talk about diarrhea shitting on your friend's nude ass. Sit through that.
Google search history after this is going to be very different.
One additional detail is that, so they're, you know, buying up, I think, 4 minutes of ad time for their other products. They are claiming that they're donating the money they would be spending on Budweiser ads to vaccine education. They actually are investing $1 million. The ads cost $5.2 million.
Fucking nothing, $1 million.
Yeah, it's what it was like when the idea of, man, these Super Bowl ads are expensive got famous back in like the 80s. And they're just like, yeah, that's what people probably assume is how much a Super Bowl ad costs. So they're doing $1 million.
That's the profit that an advertising company takes home from making the ads.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
$1 million. $1.2 million is what, you know, a good advertising company would take home for that's $0. That's a line item. That's a rounding error in a who's donating that?
Comes out in the wash.
Anheuser-Busch is donating.
It all comes out.
What? Are you kidding me? Oh God. Okay.
I mean, it makes sense that because this is definitely something that was pitched to them by an advertising agency. This whole campaign around their decision not to advertise. You can almost picture a day drunk Don Draper coming up with the idea and everyone being like, brilliant. Alex, it's been a pleasure as always having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
I've got a Twitter. I've got an Instagram. I've got a Patreon. Ooh. And I've got an album out called Until Now. So if you guys feel like finding me on any of those things, please don't tell Fran Lebowitz. But if you're Jimmy Patronus, buddy, my phone number is 617. No.
Give him a call. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. I saw a very funny tweet the other day that... do people ever, by the way, mention a tweet and you're like, we've had that one before?
It's only happened once or twice. Yeah.
There was a tweet that someone said that I thought summed up a lot of. This is from Jordan Green 4 days ago. When I describe East Coast versus West Coast culture to my friends, I often say the East Coast is kind but not nice. The West Coast is nice but not kind. And East Coasters immediately get it. West Coasters get mad.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. East Coast kind but not nice. West Coast nice but not kind.
Yep. That'll do it.
Well, you just weren't hot enough for LA. Sorry, babe. That's pretty much what LA right
that
there.
Is absolutely.
It's like said with a smile, but it's the most toxic shit.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, also 420 Day Fiance, Talking 90 Day Fiance, and you can find us on twitch.tv/420dayfiance for that stuff. Some tweets that I like. We got a couple here. One is from @Aaliyah4Prez, Girl of the Year tweets, I act like I'm okay, but deep down inside, I want to get paid for doing nothing. And that's real. That's real. Another one is from KP Moore @KPMoore8, tweeting: a homeless guy asked me for money today. I looked in my pocket and all I had was a $20 bill. Do I really want this money going towards drugs? I thought to myself, nah. So I gave him the $20.
That was mine.
Good turn.
That was so a funny. Classic. I also liked one from Stabitha Christie. We need a Disney princess who eats tortellini in the middle of the night. That is true. That is a fact. Actually.
That's someone's real life shit, huh? Where they're like, I should be a Disney princess for eating tortellini in the middle of the night. That's a tweet.
We need a Disney princess with crumbs in their bed. Is that the type of shit there?
Oh, God. Crumbs in the bed, man. And also, sorry, Beliak tweeted, I don't want student loan forgiveness. I want student loan revenge.
There you go.
That's hilarious.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what song are we riding out on today?
This is from a Canadian beatmaker from Toronto, named Harrison, who I've been getting into. This has a very cool, you know, jazz sample stuff. It's just kind of, you know, background stuff, stuff to read to, whatever, write to, code to, design to, whatever you do. And it's called Around You. So check this out. A little funky, jazzy sample-based track from Harrison.
All right. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.